You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Genesis today, chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, And I behold, I've established my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.
You see, I've got an excuse for not being able to sing that one, but you guys got no excuse at all. Yeah. It's a great, great hymn to sing, though, isn't it? It's beautiful words. Magnificent. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time. And we thank thee for the word of God which has been preserved for us today. We can read it in our own tongue, Lord, and we can be built up, edified, Lord, from it as we seek to rightly divide it. And we ask, Lord, that you bless this time together. We thank thee for America. We pray, Lord, that you would use us to restore America back to its greatness, Lord, and that greatness is found in thee and in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Right, well, Hillsdale College is a great place to go if you want to learn a bit about, things to do with the Constitution and the background of the United States. And I've been doing some research there and listening to various lectures by all sorts of people who have been studying these things for some time, and they're doing a great job, I think, in talking about the basis of the United States in the way that the Constitution was enabled and put in place. And so I've been learning a lot. Now,
and he forgot one thing. Here it is.
So, let's just go back here. For some reason, this ain't working. Can we get this to work, somebody? It doesn't seem to be working. Anyway, so we had a slide up there which was of the war. The tremendous war that occurred when the Revolutionary War, which brought about the independence of the United States from Britain, and tremendous loss of life, great cost. And when you look at these sort of pictures and you think about the kind of battle that took place, these muskets and these knives on the end of these muskets, the way they would load them, you'd have one shot, and if you're at close range, then the next thing you've got is the bayonet on the end. You know, it's a pretty rough kind of fighting, you know. These days, it's still rough, but at least, you know, you've got grenades to lob, you've got guns that's got lots of ammunition. Not perhaps so often that you'd be close contact like that. Great cost went into giving us independence here in the United States. And when you think about all the other wars that the United States has been involved with, just wars, like, for example, let's take the Second World War against Nazi Germany. What tremendous cost went into that fight. And yet, if America wasn't there, hey, I wouldn't be here. I would probably have been overcome by the Japanese. Now, I come from New Zealand. New Zealand, Australia, they were in big danger of being taken over by the Japanese. America came to the aid of Australia and New Zealand during the Second World War. When you see the tremendous cost that Americans have put into place so that we can have liberty today, It is a tremendous thing. Now, here is a thought. How can we as Christians sit back and allow all of that sacrifice, when you think about it, that tremendous sacrifice, just go to waste? And unfortunately, what we're seeing in Congress, what we're seeing in the White House, are people who simply don't respect freedom. In fact, they have an agenda, it would seem, to destroy those things which are so dear to us. And so today I want to talk a little bit about independence. Now, for some reason, we've got a little bit of a technical problem here. But the great battle was already going for over a year when the then Continental Congress called for a statement to be drafted up as a statement of independence from Great Britain. And there were five people that were brought forward to do that, and three of which included Thomas Jefferson, there was John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin, for example. They were involved with it. And Jefferson took 17 days to make up this draft copy. And then it was changed and altered until finally, on July 4th, 1776, it was issued and was brought forward by the unanimous vote of the then Continental Congress. And we've got a copy of it at the back there. You can have a look at it. And it's a tremendous document. And in it, there are so many great statements that we can think about. And it starts off like this. When in the course of human events. And when you think about what's stated in the Bible, I want you to just come with me to the book of Acts. And I thought, well, what I could do today is look at some of these passages which relate to this. Acts chapter 13, and then use this as sort of like a way of reminding us of our spiritual condition and our spiritual responsibility. We have a responsibility as U.S. citizens, for me, one day, for you, your current condition. You have a responsibility to stand up for the liberties and freedoms that have been put in place. And so we also, as Christians, we have a responsibility also. Have a look at Acts chapter 13 and verse number 23. And this goes along with what some of the things we've been talking about. It says this in verse 22, we'll go back one verse. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. He said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So Paul is standing up in this synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, and he is giving this midrash, this tremendous sermon, which is expected to take place at a certain time within the synagogue, and he delivers this. And this, he comes right down, going through the history of Israel, and comes down to David right there in verse 22. And then in verse 23 he says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise. In the statement of the Declaration of Independence begins, when in the course of human events. Well, there is a certain course of human events going on here in the book of Acts too. And God is working at the same time. God is working during this time. God has obviously been working in the history of the United States as well. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Now, some words here that I want you to notice.
according to his promise. According to his promise. And then it says, raised unto Israel a Savior. And again, notice, this is the way things were going. It's according to his promise. That's the book of Acts. According to his promise. Raised unto Israel a Savior. And so when you sort of diagram it, this out a little bit, you find this happening through time. Over here you've got various books that you can read. And some of them will sort of go slightly past the time of the cross. A momentous event that occurred after the cross and recounted in the book of Acts in chapter 2 is the giving of the Holy Spirit. Another point in time which is rather significant is in Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul was called out, named Saul. And we read a little bit later on in Acts 13 that he had a Gentile name, and his name is Paul. And as you go through these verses and chapters in the book of Acts, you finally hit the last chapter, right over here in Acts 28. And an interesting thing at the verse 28, which is, you know, that's kind of interesting, 28:28, isn't it remarkable? We realize there are all these numbers, the verse numbers, the chapter numbers, and so on. These things were added in after the original had been penned, but it's a very interesting thing that you can go through these numbers and begin to see all sorts of nice patterns that help you remember things. You know, for example, 28:28, and you add them together, which is the same as 7. I can't even write 7/8. Well, if you look at that 7, you know 7 is associated with, you know, a completeness. 7. And then 8, well, what's that to do with? Well, that's a new beginning. That's the number after 7. It's a new beginning. So here you've got completion, and there's a new beginning. A perfect new beginning occurs here. And what does this verse say? It says, salvation of God was sent unto the Gentiles, and that they would hear it. All the way through here, what do we have? We have according to his promise. We have things going on which are according to God's will and purpose. And they are related to things that were written in the Old Testament. And as you go through, look, for example, numbers are just so nice and helpful to remember things. Look at this one. 9. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit. 13. That's where Saul gets saved. 13. Well, 13 has to do with rebellion. And what do you notice in 13? Well, you'll see a lot of rebellion going on there in chapter 13 to do with the nation of Israel. In fact, well, just have a quick look at that. when you go down, for example, Acts chapter 13 and verse 50. Look what it says right near the end of this. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Notice the action of the Jews in that locality. They were in rebellion against this. 13, rebellion. And then in chapter 14, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So what you can see through this, is you see this progressive rebellion from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. and the Jews won't have it. They just won't have this. But God is not through with them. In the next chapter, what happens? Paul goes off. He goes off to the Jew again, gives them the advantage. And right through this time, you see that the Jew is first, but there's something else you see that's going on, and that is Israel is saying no to God. No to God. No to God. Paul doesn't give up. Hey, what's the situation in the United States right now? What's going on in the United States now? Well, basically, the United States is going against the purpose of God. It's going against it. Should we give up? You know, there are some people, some preachers, there are preachers who say, God damn America then. If it wants to go against Jesus and the gospel, then let God damn America. And they'll say that, and they'll preach that, they'll even pray it. I believe that's wrong. I believe that's totally wrong. We have no statement from the Spirit of God saying, we're all done with America. All we have are clear statements to us that we should be bold and we need to fight the good fight of faith. There is no coming back of Jesus now, coming back in vengeance. It hasn't happened. Until it does happen, let's keep up the fight. Let's keep it going, right? That's what Paul did. However, it is instructive, isn't it? That the book of Acts did end. It did end. Judgment did fall on the nation of Israel. It did happen. And that's a warning for us. But it's not something that tells us to give up. It doesn't say to us, oh, let's forget about America. No, what we've got to do is we've got to fight. We've got to fight. And we need to accept the challenge to fight on. That's what I believe. I believe it's clear that we should do that. So, let's go back to Acts 13. And I'm just going to put up here the first, well, in this particular rendition, five or six lines of the statement. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, here comes a responsibility which I feel very strongly parallel to this, right? Parallel to this in a spiritual sense, that there was this tremendous situation here where what you had, and I'm going to sort of draw this. I don't have a green pen, but I'm going to put in here a red branch here. This is my olive tree. It's a pretty sick looking olive tree. It's meant to be. Okay, it's meant to be. The root is supposed to be quite healthy. But above the ground, it's starting to look a bit sad. As we saw, some of the branches had been snapped off. That because of rebellion against the truth of the Messiah, Jesus. So what God did, according to the book of Romans 11, is that He grafted into this olive in an unnatural way. It was an unnatural graft, a contrary to nature. A graft was put into this olive for the express purpose of provoking the tree to fruitfulness. That's what it was there for. And that continued all the way through the book of Acts until finally we get to the end of the book of Acts. You notice that it says here, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. Well, there were spiritual bands going on here. The Gentiles were partaking of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. They were there principally to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. But at some time, right at the end of the book of Acts, there was a dissolution. The axe was put at the foot of this tree and it was chopped. A time came. We need to be quite plain and clear about our position today. We need to make things quite clear. We need to be bold about it. We need to say to people, "Oh, hold the phone, man. If you want to put us into the olive tree today and get us to go to the Jew first and take on promises that were given to Israel, my friend, all we're going to do is confuse things. What we want to do is clarify our position. We need clarity." You know, have you ever
been in a situation, perhaps in a mathematics room? I'm going to use mathematics because I know Americans generally, they have a phobia against mathematics. I don't know why exactly. Seppi and I are trying to work this out. But they do. I mean, generally, not all. But many of the Americans have some kind of phobia with mathematics. And so therefore you will probably relate to this. If you were in a mathematics classroom and a mathematics teacher started to put down a few things and wrote down a couple of equations, and then on the basis of these equations he moved forward, if you didn't get the first couple of lines and equations, the rest of it is going to be gobbledygook. It is just going to be meaningless hash, right? I mean, you're just wasting your time. You're just going to be sitting there going, okay, so, yeah, I can see chicken scratch at home, you know. At least I get some eggs from those ones, you know. Makes no sense.
Hey, that is what we have got to avoid when we are preaching the gospel, when we are proclaiming our particular hope. We need to clarify things. We need to make things simple. Now, not everything is simple. Okay? Mathematics. There are some ideas of mathematics that are complex.
But a good teacher is going to try and bring those things down so that people can grasp them. And that's what we need to do. It says here, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Yes, there are entitlements that we have from God. From a political sense, we believe that there are liberties that God has given to us and we need to declare them. And any government that seeks to destroy those liberties, we need to face them up to it. We need to put them on the mat. Right? We need to. The time of being quiet has gone. The time of just going along with the flow has gone. It's now time to be very, very bold and open with what you understand we should do. And I believe this is true spiritually as well. That's exactly what we need to do here at this church. We need to proclaim these truths that I'm talking about. And just go back to Acts 13. We'll look at verse 33. Look at verse 32. "And we declare unto you glad tidings." Glad tidings. This is Paul. Now I want you to look at this verse. I won't take the Greek and try and, you know, put stuff in here that really is not needed. You can understand the English perfectly well here. Verse 30. "And we declare unto you." We declare. That's present tense. We declare. So then, when he was getting up in the synagogue in Pisidia, he was saying, right there and then, we are declaring unto you the glad tidings. How that? The promise which was made unto the fathers. Okay, what were the glad tidings that Paul was ministering here? Well, they're all related to the fathers. "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And he goes on and he gives more psalms and he gives more quotes and all these tremendous things from the Old Testament. Go back to verse 40, go down to verse 40 I should say. And he says this, "Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets." So what Paul doing now in chapter 13? He's giving a warning. Beware therefore lest. That means it had not happened then. Lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. Beware therefore, lest. It hadn't happened then. He's warning that judgment is coming on you unless you turn, unless you repent. Talking to Israel. So that is the program. That's what's moving on through here. Paul was declaring this. Go across now to Colossians chapter number 1. Now, when I go to Colossians chapter number 1, what am I doing? Well, I'm jumping across the great divide, man. I'm jumping across the Jordan. Here's the great divide at the end of the book of Acts. Now, when I take you across to Colossians, what is this book of Colossians? Well, one thing I know about Colossians is it's written by Paul. And I'm going to write his name like this. Because AU is Aurum. It's gold. And this is where Paul the prisoner speaks. After the close of the book of Acts. After judgment had come on Israel. After this provocation was going on and didn't work. And the branches were snapped off and the judgment came on Israel. Salvation of God is sent to the Gentile. Now here is the content of what's going on here. So what we're going to do is we'll look at Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 25. Let's have a look at that. It says this. Colossians at chapter number 1 and verse 25, it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you," for you, the Colossians, "but by extension of the age to us also, to fulfill the word of God." Whoa! "I am made a minister according to the dispensation," that's the household rule, that's the economy "of God, which is given to me," that's Paul, the prisoner, "for you, to fulfill the word of God." To fill to the full the word of God. My friends, if you don't get this, you've got the equivalent of a Bible which is not quite full. You're only getting some of the truth. Oh yes, you've got the words. The words are there. But without getting this truth, without recognizing this truth, it's equivalent to having, well, you know, how do we say, the tide's out? You're like going to a shop and you get yourself a nice cold drink. And they give it to you. And they give it to you like this, you know. And here's the fluid level, yeah? Here, you paid your $1.50 for it. And here it is. Hey, wait a minute. Tide's out. I want it full. Now, I don't know about you, my friends, but I want a full cup. I want the full meal. I want it all. I want all of God's blessing to me so that I can function, so that I can talk to people about this reality. Now, my friends, if you don't understand this, if you haven't got this, you've got tides out, man. Tides out. And it's permanently out. Tide never comes in. Man, have I had some experiences with tides. That's another story, but I should tell you one of them. Camping. And, you know, the tide is there. It's a beautiful sound if you've ever been next to the ocean. And the waves come in. You know? And it's sort of mesmerizing. And you tend to fall asleep with the sound of it. And while that's okay, if you know where, you know, the tide comes up to, that's fine because it'll just come in and go out. But on certain occasions, you get very high water. When there is a certain coalescing of the moon, then there is a very high tide. And what happened one time when I was a youngster, I was sleeping there in this tent, and the tide came right over the tent. And it can happen. So, you know, getting a full, it's better than getting it half empty anyway. And getting a full drink is what we want. We want the full meal. Hey, do you remember the story back here in the Gospels? About the dogs under the table? Who are they? The Gentiles. They're the dogs under the table. And what do they feast on? Crumbs. Who's getting the meal? The Jews at the table. Right? Now, just to put things quite plain and simple, do you want to be at the table, or do you want to be the little doggies, the little puppies under the table getting the crumbs? I don't want the crumbs, man. If I'm going to get a nice American burger, man, I want a double with the cheese and everything else in there. I want the full deal. I don't want some little wimpy little. What is that? You know, I want the real thing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, man. It says here, the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. We understand what that means politically, and we know we've got to stand up for that. But hey, there's a spiritual truth as well, isn't there? There's a spiritual truth. We need to stand up for what is ours, that God has given us in this day and age. And it's by recognizing the fact that the Apostle Paul is the spokesman to us in this age, Paul the prisoner. You say, wait a minute, what, didn't he speak over here as well? Yeah, to the Jew first. Giving the Jews the advantage. Signs, wonders, and all these things. What for? To provoke Israel to jealousy. Yes, we understand that. But what if Israel gives God the rodent rasp? What then? Well, my friends, judgment goes on them, and then a secret purpose is given. It's called the mystery. Let's keep reading Colossians. Colossians, chapter number 1. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. That's why we are dispensational here. We are dispensational because that's a biblical thing to be, and because it brings light to our understanding. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Oh, now look at this expression. But now. What does that "but now" mean? It means "but now in prison." But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Great hope is ours because we've come to understand this tremendous truth. Clarity, understanding comes to us. Don't you think it's important that we understand the history of the United States, the giving of the Constitution, what the Constitution says? Anybody with any sense would say yes. Well, if you're a Christian, don't you think it's important that we come up with a clear understanding of what the Bible says and see that it's a logical book? Hey, I'm a mathematician, actually a statistician. I recognize logic. I recognize it. I see it. I embrace it. I believe that God is logical. I don't think God is, you know, the God of the one who created the whole universe, and he's not going to be logical. He's going to be some sort of a mixed up being that seems to be portrayed by many preachers today. No, I don't believe that. I believe the Bible is logical. Now, if you don't see the logic in it, there's a problem. Not with the book, but with your understanding. For most of my life, I was completely mixed up in the Bible. When I was 21, I was saved in a small New Zealand Baptist church. I got saved. I knew I was saved. I trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it made sense. The story of the Lamb of God and all those things. There was a logic to it. I saw the logic of it, and I reacted to that, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved, miraculously saved. But, my friends, what then? Well, then, I didn't know where to walk. I didn't know what to believe. I saw the Bible. I read the Bible. But what I was getting from the pulpit simply confused me. I did not know how to live my life. I had people knocking on my doors, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. We had a plethora of cultists coming to our front door, trying to bring us into all kinds of teachings and ideas. I knew they were wrong, but you know something? I was not equipped to answer them. I could not give them a good, systematic answer. Now, here's something which is not an arrogance. It's not an arrogance of myself. It is, and it's not trying to pump myself up as being some great thing, because virtually everything I know, I've learned from someone else. Right? I'll say that up front. But I can answer those people. Clearly, I know why they're wrong. I understand it. Why? Because the book is an open book. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Yes, there was a great separation. Israel no longer first. No longer first. God now dealing with the Gentiles on the basis of something new. Something tremendously new. Come with me now. You're in Colossians. Just go back to the book of Ephesians. And we've just finished a study in the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter number 2, look at this in verse 11. Here's something you better remember. Here's something that it's very important to remember. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." That was your state and my state as a Gentile. Now look what it says. "But now," beautiful, "but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We're made nigh. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," that's between the Jew and the Gentile, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man." One new man. So a new man has been created. You know Israel? Israel was the wife. Israel was the wife. The overcomers were the bride. But look what's happening here. Paul says something new has been created. The new man. The new man. And we have this wonderful opportunity to give this wonderful news. This is not based upon the Old Testament. What we read back here in Acts 13. According to his promise, repeated over and over in different contexts, Israel, Savior, Jesus Christ in relationship to Israel, in accordance with God's promises. But what's going on here? In relationship to a secret purpose. God hid in himself, kept away from Moses, kept away from Abraham, kept it away from Jeremiah and all the prophets. And at just the right time, he revealed it to Paul the prisoner. And that's what we're reading about now. I mean, I think this is beautiful. I think this is something to celebrate. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem I had to go through too. The problem is
that when you go through your life as a Christian, you make certain assumptions. And you build your life around those assumptions. And then suddenly, something comes from right field and you say, whoa. Now if I believe that, then all of this superstructure that I've got here in front of me is going to fall. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want to admit that I've been wrong all these years. It's really hard.
Believe me, it is hard. I had to go through it. I had to go through that and say, oh, I've been wrong. And that material, that preaching that I've been given all those years have been wrong. They've been wrong. But my friends, isn't it more important to be right in the sight of God? Isn't that more important? You're going to face them, my friends. The time's coming. I looked in the mirror this morning. I said, man, this hair of mine, even this black stuff I put in there is not working anymore. You know? It's not working. I can't hide it. The time's coming, man. The time's coming when I will give up the Spirit. But thank God that He is the God that raises the dead, and that this wonderful truth that I'm talking about is truth. Because truth sets free. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through Him. That's truth. That's what truth will do for you. But it's true as a principle. Truth will set you free. It's not going to bring you into bondage. And isn't that right of the United States? Isn't that the basis of what the founding fathers wanted? They wanted liberty to serve God. They wanted truth. They may not have got all the truth, but that's what they wanted. They wanted the truth. That's what we need. We need truth, man. Well, look, I'm not even halfway through this stuff. Not even halfway through. But at least you can sort of see where I'm going with this message. That there is a parallel. There's a parallel going on here. As Americans, I think Americans, out of all people on this earth, should relate to what I'm talking about. Because they see the wonderful liberty, or many of them do, some of them don't, unfortunately, because I think the educational system has done its job. You know what I'm talking about. The educational system has done its job of dumbing people down and educating them into the left. Right? Keeping them away from the truth of the Scriptures, the truth about the Constitution, the truth about the founding generation. Keeping them away from... That's how Barack Obama's in power. Because of the educational system keeping these truths away from people. Families need to teach this. We need to take responsibility for it. And we need to be busy on it. Just as a last passage that I wanted to show you is here in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to finish with this. It says this in verse 16. This is one of Paul's prayers. And Ephesians 1:16, he says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Hey, it's going to be interesting to see what Paul prays about, right? And this is the first of his prayers that are mentioned here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. I know sometimes when you read these words, they just go over the top. So let's just think about this. What's he praying for? He's praying that God, the Father of glory, may give to these Ephesians the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, practical knowledge, practical wisdom. And it says, and revelation. What's revelation? That's an unveiling. Now, look what he says. The eyes of your understanding. So here's these metaphorical eyes, which are for your understanding. That you, being enlightened, light comes into them. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Here it is, my friends. If you don't get this, if you don't get the spirit
of wisdom and revelation, then I guess what you're seeing up here is a bunch of chicken scratch. Right? And that's what it's all about. We need to be in prayer for people that they come to understand the Scriptures. Not only that they get saved, and that's certainly what we must pray for, but also that they go on unto perfection. That's what we want. We need in America today people who are going on unto perfection. Not baby Christians. Not baby Christians. But Christians who are mature, can stand up for the truth of this country and the Constitution, the things to do with the founding generation, but also, my friends, the right division of the Scriptures, so that we're not going to be in confusion that America can once again be the leading nation, both in terms of its politics and spiritually as well. Isn't that what we want? We want to see that. I mean, we're basically immigrating to America. Now, I've brought my wife and my good son here, and we're coming to a nation in decline. We don't like to see that. We don't like to see it. We want to fight against it, and we want to be a part of the remnant that is fighting the fight. You're with me, right? You're with me. And we're going to do it together. And we're going to start collecting people into this movement. We're going to get it going. And we're going to make an impression. We're going to make a difference. God willing. God with us. We're going to do it. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this message concerning the first six or so lines of the Declaration of Independence. Lord, we think of all the blood that's been shed, Lord, for the freedoms that we so often take for granted. We thank Thee most of all for the shed blood of Christ that's given us life everlasting. We thank Thee for all that has been done for us. And we ask that You would use us in a way that would be beneficial to people around us in this community and throughout the country. Lord, we think of the great pain that we see coming on this country because of the rebellion against the truths of the Scriptures. And we ask, Lord, for help in every day. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.